From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. We're in the midst of a candidate forum with Wisconsin's 96th Assembly District candidates, Lee Nearison, the Republican incumbent from Westby, and his challenger, Democrat Peter Flesch from Soldiers Grove. The two took questions from La Crosse area media, the League of Women Voters, and audience members at a UW-La Crosse forum earlier this week. UWL Assistant Professor of Political Science Tim Dale is the moderator.
Okay, now we go to Bob Schmidt.
It seems as though we're pretty much a partisan society, that everybody is so far right or so far left, and it seems like that wedge of partisanship or whatever is driving a wedge in between families and friends, and in Madison as well. How have you shown compromise in your life so you can show that you can work together with the other party?
Lee, 2 minutes.
Growing up on the farm, and you're farming with your father, there are a lot of days you yell at each other and scream at each other, but you realize you both want to get to the same place. You might have a different road of getting there. And so you work there and do that, and then you bring the same thing into government. Like on county board, you always have to work. You don't know what party they are. You just know there's a lot of differences, and you have to bring them together and get things done. And that's the same way in Madison. Representative Doyle had a bill that came up last session. He got it through committee, and he couldn't get it onto the floor for scheduling. So this year he came to me and wanted me to take the bill. And I said, no, I'm not a bill hijacking. I'm not going to take your bill, but I will help you get it passed. And we worked through it, and we got it through both houses, and the governor came to La Crosse and signed it. And that, to me, shows that I've always done that. I've always worked across the aisle. We may disagree on a lot of things, but we can sit down and talk and at least have a civil conversation with it. Then we can walk out the door and maybe stop at the local watering hole and sit down and talk some more. But then when we come back, we'll start talking again. I've always done that. I've always had to work across the aisle and in anything I've done.
Pete, 2 minutes.
In my career in local government, I've worked with a lot of diverse people, a lot of groups, and have always been able to work with people. When I first was elected to the Clayton Town Board back in 1999, there were some, it was a contentious time. We had some land use issues, and comprehensive planning was starting up down there, and it was really, there was really a lot of conflict. It was very contentious. And I was elected to the board. We formed a plan commission, and we invited people from the opposite that held the opposite opinions on this together, and we worked on it. And we eventually completed our comprehensive plan, got it passed. On the county board, I worked with 16 other county board supervisors whose political persuasions, many of them, I have no idea what they are and don't care. I've been successful working with people on that. That's really the story of my career, and I wouldn't expect that would stop when I get to Madison. My goal when I get to Madison is on occasion to piss both sides off.
30 seconds. Actually, in the assembly, out of 434 bills, 406 were bipartisan. So a little over 93% of them were bipartisan bills. And there are a number of times I broke with the Republicans because I didn't think it was right for the district. He brought up the one vote. He said he pisses everybody off. I got threatened with the recall from both sides. So I guess I kind of did that too. So it's just what we do here in Western Wisconsin. We work together. We roll our sleeves up and get the job done.
Yeah, it's. I anticipate when I get to Madison, I want to get together with other legislators from rural districts and really to advocate for issues issues that really affect rural areas. You know, the problem here is that there aren't as many representatives that represent rural areas as urban and suburban, so it's really important for us to stick together.
The next question comes from someone in the audience, and it goes to Pete first for 2 minutes. Do you support urging the governor to accept the federal badger care funds?
Yes. The I think it was a mistake to reject the federal Medicaid expansion. I'm an old farmer. I never like to pay more and get less, but that's what we're doing as a state. We're paying $100 million more and covering 76,000 less people. That makes no sense for me, and I think we're doing it just for strictly partisan reasons, not doing it with the best interest of the citizens of Wisconsin in mind. It should be a nonpartisan issue. Republican governors like Chris Christie have accepted the Medicaid funds. I think it's been done in this state because the governor and a lot of members of the assembly simply were trying to sabotage the Affordable Care Act, and the Affordable Care Act has gone ahead and is working. The problem is the Affordable Care Act was designed to work with the states accepting the Medicare funds, which right now it leaves a donut hole that people are not eligible for Badger Care and do not qualify for the rebates under the Affordable Care Act. So that's an issue, and it's affecting people. And like I said, I'm an old farmer. I don't like to pay more and get less.
Lee, 2 minutes.
Well, when the Affordable Care Act came out, I wish we could have just kept on in Wisconsin. We were the second highest rate level of people with some form of health insurance. I would have rather worked on the few percentage points that we didn't have any on than throwing it all out and starting over again and seeing what's happened through the Affordable Care Act. And it was the governor's decision not to accept the money, and then we have to, as a legislature, then we sit down and talk and figure out a way to deal with that. And I think we did a good job by getting them we got the lowest of the poorest of the poor to get the insurance. And then if you made a little more than above poverty, you could get onto the exchanges. And I felt that the state should have been doing, or the federal should have been doing the exchanges, because they're the ones that, it's their program, and they're the ones that don't have the money, and all of a sudden the money's going to disappear, and then we don't get to, we'd have to come up with the money in the state, and everybody's short on money. So I think we did the best with what we had, and we got more people on that are actually the poorest of the poor to get insurance, and the others can hopefully get on and get a reduced cost on their insurance.
Well, I disagree. I believe the state would be better off accepting the Medicaid funds. We would have more people covered under Badger Care. The funds from the federal government are there. The only difference is right now someone else is getting those funds, not us.
The funds were there, but for how long? Every time they turn around, it seems like they're disappearing on us. So I still think we made the right. The governor had his choice to make, and I know there's a few referendums out there through the state to have a vote on them this fall. So I think we'll wait and see what the referendum is, and we'll just keep working to try to get the health coverage for the people that need it.
We're going to go back to the panel. Marie McCollum.
Given that you and others in the 96th District are farmers, are there any agricultural issues that you wish the legislature would address? And if so, can you provide specifics?
Lee, 2 minutes.
What we have to do in agriculture, I want to keep agriculture moving. That's why I went into the legislature and got to be chair of the Ag Committee. We need to keep moving it forward, and that's all sizes of agriculture. But we also have to be looking at a lot of the regulations that are put on the farmers, and that's all size farmers. That's not big ones, small ones. I think the 96 has probably got the most diverse ag in the state, with probably the largest number of Amish farmers. Organic Valley is right in the middle of the district with Lafarge. So we have to get a consensus with everybody. I've been working with Secretary Bransel and try to make all farming as profitable as it can be. And I think that's what we have to keep doing to keep the ag moving forward. One of the bills that we passed this session was the implements of husbandry. I was not real happy the way it is, but we knew we had to change it. But leaving it as it was wasn't the answer either. So we'll have to come back, because you're looking at a lot of the co-ops that do spraying and insecticide, fertilizer, and that. They travel probably 80% of the state. And with being overweight, they'd have to have a permit on every road they traveled on, town road, county road. So I think there's an issue there that we're going to have to look at to make it cheaper, not cheaper, but at least make it more accessible for all parts of the state for the farming.
2 minutes, Pete.
I think the whole local food movement has a lot of traction. It's something that's catching on, not just in the 96, but in a lot of places. People like the idea of their food coming from somewhere nearby, and we are ideally placed to really see a lot of growth in that. We have three commercial incubator kitchens, one in Viroqua, one in Gays Mills, and one in Prairie du Chien. So I think the local food movement is something that I would really like to have see supported more. I'd like to see more support for the farm-to-school program. I think that ties in well. Again, it's something that we in the 96 are really, really well positioned to take advantage of. So that's something that I would be very interested in pursuing when I get to the legislature, is more support for the local food movement. I think it's something that's really going to have a bright future for a lot of producers in our area.
Well, that's why I passed an ag tourism bill this last session, because people are getting 5-6 generations removed from active agriculture. They want to know where their food is coming from, and farmers will gladly open their farm up. They're proud of their operation. They want you to come and see it. But there was also a civil liability if somebody should happen to get hurt, because farming is dangerous. And so with ag tourism, it kind of limits the potential for civil liabilities. And it's been traveling around the state and having meetings all over the state, and a number of people are talking about starting small occupations at home.
One thing that my UW Extension Ag agent did a few years ago, he collaborated with the Southwest Badger RC&D and got a grant for a program called Plant Your Roots in Crawford County. It was a way of advertising Crawford County as a destination for farmers who do grazing, because we're perfectly suited for grazing. We got a lot of land that's not good for anything else. It generated a lot of interest. We got a couple of people that came out here, and that's something that I think could be replicated in other areas of the state.
You're listening to an election forum featuring candidates in Wisconsin's 96th State Assembly District on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. The candidates are Republican incumbent Representative Lee Nearson of Westby and Democratic challenger Peter Flesch of Soldiers Grove. The forum was held earlier this week at UW La Crosse. The moderator is UWL Assistant Professor of Political Science, Tim Dale.
We now go to Mark McPherson.
Western Wisconsin has a lot of valuable silica sand that's used for frac sand mining. What do you think about frac sand mining operations spreading throughout Western Wisconsin?
Pete, 2 minutes.
Well, that's something we've had some experience with down in Crawford County. A couple of years ago, I didn't know what frac sand was. I happened to sit down for lunch with the county board chairman of Chippewa County, and after the end of my lunch, I was really educated about what frac sand was, and was concerned about it, and thought, well, okay, we have the opportunity now to get in front of this issue. So what I did, I proposed, and the county board enacted a 6-month moratorium on frac sand mining. During that time, I put together a study group made up of mostly my department heads of the county and some other interested citizens. We studied the issue, and we decided the best thing to do was to get together with our local towns and villages and help empower them to deal with this. We put together a draft ordinance that our local towns and villages could modify and adopt as they seen fit. Most of them did end up adopting some form of this frac sand mining licensing ordinance. To negotiate with a sand mining company, a large company, could be something that a lot of towns with no staff could find intimidating. So in order to help them out, we offered to the services of our Land Conservation Committee to help administer these ordinances. And we have several memorandums of understanding with some municipalities in our county to have our to be assisted by our Land Conservation Department. The local officials still make all the decisions. Our Land Conservation Office just does some administering and information gathering and advising. So
The whole exercise is something that I think worked well, and I think the decision should be kept on a local level.
The frac sand mining has been done for over 100 years. You just didn't hear about it because it was used for making glass. It was used when you do sandblasting. So you had frac sand mines around for a long time. But they're regulated locally. DNR regulates them. I voted for additional staff at DNR for the operation, for the monitoring these operations for environmental compliances. And on the local level, there were only, 6 of them, I think it was, 10, 12 years ago, and now there's 100 and over 106. So the local groups, local governments are learning, and then they understand how to negotiate with them, so they are getting cited. So that's why when that one bill came up in the legislature, they called it the frac sand bill from Senator Tiffany, I opposed the bill right away and got a couple of my colleagues from Southwest Wisconsin here to stop it. A lot of times you have to stop things. It's more important to stop than it is to pass. And that was one that I'm proud to have stopped, and to leave it on local control. And I told them, if you come back with another bill, I'll oppose that one too. Well, they did come back with another one, but that didn't even have a public hearing. So the local town governments and county governments, they're learning how to do it. There has to be money put aside for reclamation if they close, or if they go bankrupt and just walk away. They have to have money there, and it's a county that is regulating when they close to do the cleanup, all of it, and get its reclamation of it. But that's why I also believe that we have to keep it local, and I did stop that in the legislature.
The scary part about this to me is that silica dust is a known carcinogen. It's something that I don't think is monitored nearly enough. I think the DNR needs to step up and do more monitoring. When you drive by some of these sites on a windy day and see the dust blowing off the top of these piles, you wonder, okay, where is this stuff going? How far is it going? That's something that we really need to get a better handle on than we have now.
And that's why I voted for the additional DNR staff to monitor the operations for the environmental compliances. So they are we're trying to get more hired so they can get trained to go out there and do what they have to do to monitor them.
We have time for one more question, then we'll go to closing remarks. So Chris Hardy, final question.
Your discussion about the sand mines is a reminder that sometimes economic growth pits regulations against the environment. Some feel the public's voice is being lost in the process. What's your position on the restoration of the public intervener?
Lee, 2 minutes.
When I'm in office, I always talk and call the department if there's an issue and the local people don't really think they're getting heard and feel they're not getting heard, and a lot of times I agree with them. So I'll get right on the phone and talk to the department heads and make sure they get to take into it, like now with the high power line that's coming through. People are talking about the PSC not listening. Well, I'm hopefully they are now. We've been putting enough pressure on them, so I hope they do listen to them, and I think we can do it that way through that.
I think the restoring the public interveners could be useful for just the reason that you stated, that people feel they don't have a voice, don't have enough of a voice. I think it's something that could be useful and worthwhile. Just to give people that option, to give people another option, another way to access public policy decisions. So I would support bringing back the public intervener.
I keep saying it's a good thing I'm Norwegian. I can pound my head on a rock wall a long time before it hurts. And that's the way I just keep on whatever department they have to, whatever department is the one that's not listening. And I think we can do it as an elected official.
Pass.
Okay, so we have time for closing remarks from each candidate. Before we get to those, we will start with Pete and then have Lee finish up. I want to thank all of you for being here. I also want to thank our panelists, Maureen McCollum, Mark McPherson, Chris Hardy, Brad Williams, Ellen France, Bob Schmidt, also Jane Claycamp, the timekeeper from League of Women Voters. Thank you all for coming, and we can have a round of applause after the final comments tonight, and we start with Pete.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the panelists. and thank everyone, all the sponsors, the people that came here. I'm glad that you I'm glad that you sat through the opening act and stuck around for the main event. That's the reason they scheduled us this way, obviously.
Obvious.
But I'm running for the assembly because I feel that I have the ability to bring people together like I've always done in local government, because I have a real passion for community service. It's something I feel really strongly about, and I really want to thank everybody that supported me, that supported my campaign, that's worked for me. It really means a lot to me. There's so much to do in Madison. We need to balance the budget. We need to get Wisconsin back on the winning track, creating jobs. We're 10th out of 10 in the Upper Midwest for job creation. If the Badgers finish last in the Big Ten, they'd bring in a whole new coaching staff to get Wisconsin back on the winning track. And that's what I want to do. I want to be part of the new coaching staff, along with Governor Mary Burke, that puts Wisconsin back on the winning track. And I respectfully ask for your vote on November 4th so I can do that.
I want to thank the panel for the questions tonight and everyone that was involved in it. It's great to see this many people that stuck around to see the last, the closing act, should we say. It's been an honor to serve as your state representative, and I'm humbled to have been given many awards for my work by groups, from farmers to veterans to home builders and so on. And to me, this is a vote of confidence for the work I've done for you. Every time I walk into the Capitol, I get this feeling in the pit of my stomach. I think of all that we've accomplished for the work together and for passing laws to grow Wisconsin agriculture, by tackling this area's heroin epidemic and health care needs, to making sure our kids get the best start in life. There just isn't time to list everything, so that's why I'm happy to talk anytime, wherever it is, that's for what we've done. As you heard here tonight and throughout this campaign, there's quite a difference between me and my opponent on the issues. It comes down to this. I have a proven track record of results and being a good steward of your hard-earned money. My opponent will take us back to the days of growing government as big as some think it needs to be. We've worked hard and turned things around, and I want to keep moving Western Wisconsin forward. You have an important decision to make November 4th. I've always given you my word and worked hard for what's best for Western Wisconsin. That will never change. I ask for your vote so we can keep working together to make sure our area remains a great place to work, live, raise a family, and retire. We've already done a lot together, but there's still more to be done. Let's roll up our sleeves and get it done. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming. Be sure to vote November 4th.
Tim Dale is an assistant professor of political science at UW-La Crosse and moderator for this election forum featuring candidates in Western Wisconsin's 96th Assembly District, Republican incumbent Representative Lee Nierison and Democratic challenger Peter Flesch. The 96th includes Vernon, Crawford, and part of Monroe counties. Flesch farms near Soldiers Grove in Crawford County. Nierison is a Vernon County farmer who lives near Westby. He's represented the 96th District since first being elected in 2004. The forum was hosted by UW-La Crosse, sponsored by Wisconsin Public Radio, the La Crosse Tribune, WKBT News 8, the League of Women Voters, the UWL Department of Political Science and Public Administration, and the UWL Student Association. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to each of the candidates and archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.